Join CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM and InsideSTL.com for Kenrick's presentation of the first annual InsideSTL.com Golf Classic. Now, while spots are full, we invite you to come out and support Three Little Birds for Life, an organization helping to grant the wishes of young adults with cancer. There'll be a silent auction with your chance to win a sit-in on the Ryan Kelly Morning After Show, along with much, much more. Thanks to Biggie's Restaurant and Bar, Pro-Am Golf, GFI Digital, Grand Cru Cigars, VIP Golf Carts, Weber Chevrolet, Frederick Roofing, Ren Lakes Golf Course, Dave Sinclair Buick, Bertarelli Cutlery, Truman's and Soulard, Corporate Transportation, 188 Fine Men's Hair Salon, Donut Drive-In, Billy G's, and the Kolache Factory for making this day possible. We hope to see you on Friday, May 13th, for a full day of fun and games for a good cause at Normandy Golf Course. Even if you can't make it for the tournament, join us for the post-party at Over Under Bar and Grill.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:04 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com, live. The Gateway, Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Elvin Vaughn. Doug, sitting next to you today from the Two Fox. Look, it's Charlie Marlowe.
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Charlie, we were here yesterday, but that was just to get a feel for what the show is going to look like this week.
Correct. I was a little nervous this week coming back in, so yesterday I wanted to come in and just kind of see you guys, feel out the studio and all that, and now I feel much more comfortable this morning.
Just took a little drive.
Oh, yeah. You want to get up at 6:15, just to kind of see what's doing.
Just drive for about 20 minutes, turn rear, and head on back.
Sure.
On the Get Tinted STL Captain's Log today, Brian Lawton, NHL Network analyst, brought to you by the National Blues Museum on Washington Avenue, and Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital. The focal point of today's presentation will be Blues failing at home with an opportunity to clinch in Game 6. And now heading back to Dallas for Game 7. You are welcome to vocalize your frustration. 314-880-0808. The Appliances Counter phone lines, 314-880-0808. You can also text in at that number. Email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Gift card to the post is our prize for our email of the day. Plus, we have fun with audio presented by Llewellyn's Pub. Your Get Tinted STL Captain's Log, Brian Lawton, Kelly Chase, and the email of the day, which includes an MFF email from one of our fan page users who says he had an MFF this past weekend. So if you're down about the Blues loss at 9:45, you will be titillated by the equivalent of our Penthouse Forum here on the program. Maybe that should be a new segment.
Penthouse, our Penthouse Forum.
Yeah. Because I bet our listeners have incredible sexual experiences.
Well, I don't think so. I think you could make up a lot of stuff, maybe.
Looking forward to hearing what Chase thinks about it. And I know our listeners, based on what I was seeing on the Twitter tweets and on the fan page last night, incredibly frustrated by it. So our Stanley Cup playoff coverage, and specifically the Western Conference semifinal coverage, is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch, and specifically Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. If you are looking to enjoy a cold, frosty one, Doug, why don't you make it a Bud Light if you could, because
okay,
it is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You can enter to win by texting in 72345. Bud Light's a light-bodied lager with a fresh, clean, and subtle hop aroma, delicate malt sweetness, and crisp finish. For ultimate refreshment, they are presenting our Stanley Cup playoff coverage. Incredibly disappointing. Since the Blues won a Game 5 in St. Louis in 2012, they have had four Game 5s in St. Louis, 2013, 2014, 2015, first round 2016, and one Game 6 and one Game 7, and they are now 1-5 in those games. It's an odd statistic. It's a very bad statistic. And last night, the most glaring statistic was 3-0 Dallas after 20 minutes of play.
Well, Timmy, even an old ranch hand could tell shortly after they left the bunkhouse that our snipers hadn't laced up their steel slippers, the rear guards weren't pinching, and the grinders had no buy-in, and the stacker fell asleep on his pillows. Before the cock crowed, we were down 3-0 in our own barn. Elsie was sent out to the woodshed, and Jaker came down off the hayloft to tend the twine. Whoa, but then Steiner put one in the side door where the mailman leaves in such a toot when Papa comes home from work. And then Bergsy slid a Swedish meatball under the floorboards where Uncle Harley buried that drifter fella. Ah, but then Letzi stoned Schwartzy with 20 ticks left. Now we got to win game 7 in order to keep it real. Back we go to Dallas. How about that whole deal?
Huh? Nice.
Well done, sir. Mm-hmm. I like the floorboards one.
Just a little recap is all it is, Chuck.
I think you painted a nice picture there. Mm-hmm.
Well, they actually played very well for 2 periods anyway. Dominated for 2 periods. Had nothing in the first.
I feel like that's a misnomer in a sense, though.
I don't know. I thought they were awfully good in the second 2 periods.
Well, I understand. But Dallas is going to alter its strategy when they're up 3-0. So I feel like, in a way, I mean, I hope it carries over. I just... You know, if the Blues were up 3-0, you wouldn't expect them to be on the offensive. So that's why I thought that was in part. And then I also thought they had numerous opportunities that they needed to either get on net or finish.
They passed up a lot of shots still.
Well, they missed the net even more. Mm. And, you know, I mean, Lettinen was outstanding. Don't get me wrong. But the Blues didn't finish. You know, Jaden Schwartz was stopped, but, you know, I think that also is on him to get that puck up. Kevin Shattenkirk on that breakaway. I still don't know. Do you remember him talking about earlier in the game that wasn't there?
Yep.
He just, like, split the defenders. What a you don't split see that often in the NHL.
And then miss the net.
And then just totally miss. You know, Brouwer couldn't get a stick on the puck when he shot right across the middle and had an open look. Don't get me wrong. You have to credit Kari Lettinen, but you know, the Blues had numerous opportunities that they could not convert. 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. Tim, you forgot a vital piece of information regarding that record under Ken Hitchcock. Yasiel the Boy Puig, that was implied. I don't necessarily blame Ken Hitchcock, Doug Armstrong, Tom Stillman, whomever you want to pick. It's just, it is a statistic, and you can infer from it whatever you want. It could be strictly coincidental. I know this as a Blues fan. It is really a surprising number. Again, 1-5 in a combination of games 5 through 7 on home ice. 4 of those game 5s, one of those game 6 last night, and one of those game 7, the win against Chicago 15 days ago. Guys, I just don't understand how a team cannot show up to start the game with a chance to win it at home. It's frustrating. I feel like, I don't feel like, and maybe I'm on an island on this stuff, I realize that becomes the talking point of sorts after a team falls behind early. But observing that game, the first 5 minutes, the Blues were dominating it. So to then apply they didn't show up, I disagree with that. I see that, you know, of course they fell behind 2-0, but if they would have fallen behind 2-0 after Dallas would have been dominating the first 5 minutes of play, I would have said, yeah, that's, you know, I don't understand how the hell that happened. But that's not actually how the game played out. It's similar to to me it's similar to the Ryan Reeves kiss thing for game 4. I mean, the Blues dominated the first period, so what, the Stars remembered the kiss for the second period after Edmondson gave the puck away?
Yeah.
It becomes convenient talking point, and then you go on Twitter or on your talk radio show and talk about how it's an embarrassment, and it's populist moron rhetoric to me.
Whatever.
You know, it's LCD crap. It wins, but I just don't know if I, you know, after doing this for 17 years, I just don't know if I want to do it. You know, it's a layup to get people fired up and get them on your side and retweets and likes. But, you know,
whenever the other team scores first, you say, well, we didn't show up ready to play. You know, sometimes the guy just makes a great shot and the goalie can't get it. Doesn't mean you weren't ready to play. It just means the other guy made a really nice shot.
Had the Stars played like the Blues did for the first 5 minutes and then scored a goal, or in this case, 2 goals, I would have subscribe to that, but I personally don't I personally don't hold that opinion. Doesn't mean it's incorrect. I just personally don't see it that way. I was surprised that he pulled Brian Elliott because I didn't feel like that was on Brian Elliott. Now, some people say, yeah, you know, two of those were glove side and could have made a better play on him, even if he didn't stop him. I don't know. I mean, I realize part of that is simply just to make a move for momentum's sake.
I think that's what it was as much as anything.
Not blaming him. However, he didn't say that Brian Elliott's our goaltender after the game.
No. Maybe to keep the Stars guessing as much as anything. The Stars haven't said who their goaltender is going to be until the beginning of the game, so maybe he's just trying to play that game. I can't believe they wouldn't go back to Elliott for all he's done. But he has one bad 15-minute stretch, and now he's out. I can't believe that they would do that.
But I don't even think it was a bad 15-minute stretch.
Yeah, I think any goalie would tell you if they scored three, it's a bad stretch, whether he had much of a chance to make the saves or not.
And I hate to say that a series or a game comes down to, and we joke about it all the time, puck luck. But I really do think this series is so even that in just some games, some teams get the breaks. And the Blues got them in the game before. In Game 5, the Stars outshot the Blues. They won, I believe, 10 more faceoffs. And the Blues had a goal off a skate and an empty netter. You take that away, it's a one-goal game. And really, the Stars missed so many great opportunities. And last night, it was kind of the opposite, where the Stars were able to convert on their chances, and then they go into that prevent defense where all teams do that. It doesn't seem to work at all when you go conservative like that, although every team does that. And then the Stars are under siege, and Leighton just plays a great game. And that was the difference last night, I think, is that Leighton was what Elliott was in previous games.
Mm-hmm. They put a lot of heat on him there, especially in the third period. Could easily have tied that up.
Second period, too. Stars came out of that thing feeling like they had dodged a bullet by the fact the Blues had only scored one goal. And I was the opinion of what Ken Hitchcock said following the game. Once Berglund scored with about 9 minutes left in the third, I thought they were going to tie that thing. And they certainly had opportunities. Now, that's a different operation than what took place in the second period where the Stars are up 3-0 and the strategy changes. In the final 9 minutes, the Blues had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and that isn't the Stars just, you know, giving up the ship and letting them attack. That was a true domination, but they couldn't convert, and there were a couple of great or glorious scoring opportunity. Here's Ken Hitchcock. This is soundbite number one. Llewellyn's Fun with Audio is our sponsor of the audio clips. He's concerned with how many shots the Blues fired that missed the net.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
We can shoot better. We can do some things better offensively. Obviously, you don't like to see as many shots blocked as we did or as missed the net. I'm more concerned with the missing the net because we had 9 scoring chances in the second period, but 5 of them missed the net. And you're going to get that type of chances. You got to at least hit the net. So I think the shots blocked, the way they defend, you're going to get those things, but it's the ones we missed the net on that probably concerned a little bit.
Ken Hitchcock last night regarding the Blues firing away but missing the net so often, which was a source of frustration for Blues fans last night during those numerous opportunities. I think it was Lindy Ruff who said, well, actually, we have the sound, as a matter of fact. I was watching him say this on both Fox Sports Midwest and NBC Sports Network regarding the goaltending situation, how you could just flip the script. I mean, it was Elliott in Game 5 who did the job for the Blues, and last night it was Letton, and he wouldn't put the blame on Brian Elliott for the Blues' loss last evening. Here is the Stars' head coach, soundbite 7.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
I don't think he was rattled. I don't know. You know, there's nothing he can do in the second one. The first one I thought was a heck of a shot. And the third one, Spez is all alone dead in the slot. So I don't know if you can lump that on your goaltender. He's played terrific inside the series. And, you know, I think both goaltenders have been big parts of winning games.
Lindy Ruff last night on Brian Elliott and the goaltender and yanking the netminder. You would imagine that when it's all said and done, that it's going to be Letnin and Elliott in Game 7, which will be a 7 o'clock start tomorrow night at American Airlines. Doug David Delgman writes in, Tim, stop crying. You're a grown man.
Huh.
Yeah, seriously.
Huh. That sting a little bit?
How's that feel?
Huh?
I didn't know I was that emotional. But this guy,
put you in your place,
who has stalked me on Facebook and on the text line for 3 years to the point of contacting authorities, has reached out. Guys, you're missing the obvious. The Stars had better puck luck last night. That's from the 314.
Well, that's got a lot to do with it.
Getting the breaks, puck luck. It really does, though. You can dominate a game, and you can hit posts and things like that. It's just what Lindy Ruff said. The game before, if you watched that game and you didn't look at the score, you'd think the Stars were the better team, and they didn't win that game. I'm not saying the Blues were the better team necessarily last night, but you have weird stuff happen in hockey series. Posts get hit. The Blues have had two goals going this postseason off the other team's skate that weren't even shots. They were passes to their players, and they became goals after off the other team's skate.
But one of those goes in the first period, that means you didn't come ready to play.
Correct. To some people's narrative.
And if it goes in for you that way, it means you came out with a lot of jump.
And you know what? That third goal, let's be honest. I mean, Jay Bouwmeester falls down, and there wasn't anybody around him. He basically was backpedaling. He fell down, and that allowed Spezza to have the space to go in there and score that goal. I mean, if Bouwmeester does not fall down, you can almost say 99% that goal is not scored.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that room to operate.
These teams are so good. The Stars, the Blackhawks, the Blues. I think they're all so evenly matched. Maybe not the same type of teams, but in the big picture, they're all so evenly matched. If they played 15 games, it would probably be 8-7. You watch the Blues play one game, game five, and you go, wow, this team's going all the way. I mean, they are terrific. To go on the road and get that win, then you watch them at home and you go, oh, they didn't come ready to play. They're just not ready. You just never know what you're going to get game to game. You just show up tomorrow and you have no clue which team you're going to get. And you might get the best team in the league, or you might get a team that frustrates you.
Right. What's the Blues and the Stars' record this postseason? Both of them.
6-7-6.
I mean, are either of them dominant? They're both playing really good playoff teams.
Well, they didn't come ready to play.
Well, my point is they're both basically .500 playing these other great teams in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And they're both really, really good teams.
Right.
That's how close the playoffs
It's to be expected. It would be more surprising if the series was 4-0 or 4-1, probably. So
well
before
said.
We get too disappointed, we ought to say, yeah, this is about how it should have gone.
And you know what? We were saying the exact same things last series after the Blues lost game, 5-6 to Chicago. And the whole hashtag narrative, it all comes down to game 7. Because if the Blues would have lost the Blackhawks, it would have been the end of the world. And you know what? If the Blues win on Wednesday night, we will absolutely forget about this game.
Mm.
But if they lose, it's the other way around. I mean, it comes down to one game now.
Yeah, and possibly one weird bounce of the puck.
That's true.
Home ice doesn't seem to matter at all.
The Blues are 4-2 on the road this postseason.
Right. And in this series, the road team has won 4 games. There was every reason last night to think that, well, the Blues are at home, game 6, perfect, right where we want them. And then they didn't come ready to play. No, they just had a few goals go in against them.
Why don't you hold people accountable?
Well, I don't know.
So you're saying it's puck luck?
It's not all puck luck, but it's a lot of puck luck.
Bud Light, our presenting sponsor, Stanley Cup playoff coverage here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. 314-880-0808 is how you can get involved in the radio programming by calling in 880-0808. You can also text in 314-880-0808 and email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Doug, you love going to the phone lines. That's an opportunity to do so right now as we go to the Shrewsbury Seminary student.
Hello, Shrewsy. Hello, Shrewsy. Shrewsbury!
Hello?
Yes!
Hello.
Yes!
Hey, boys.
Hey, you're a little slow on the tech. Hey, you didn't come ready to call.
All right, Doug. I was podcasting from a few weeks ago, and Doug, I heard you say you got an SBCGlobal.net email.
Yeah, so?
Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Charlie, these are the phone lines.
Yeah.
That's ancient, Doug.
Well, so what? It works. What do I care? It works.
That's old. Doug, get on Gmail.
Why? What's the difference? You get an email, you send an email. What else do you think I'm doing?
Doug, you can't have an SBC Global email. It's 2015.
Well, why would that upset you? What difference does it make?
It really upset me. I wanted to call in.
Now, Tim has Hotmail, doesn't he?
Yeah, I do. But all great CEOs do.
Sure.
Well, are you saying just because it ends in SBC Global, you can't send me an email?
No, but it's embarrassing for you, Doc, and your family.
I'm not the least bit embarrassed by it.
John Vaughn said he was a little embarrassed yesterday.
See?
Yep. So what's the cool email to have, sir?
I don't know. We should fight over it at the or something.
Is this what they're teaching you in seminary school?
I got kicked out.
No, did you really? That's not surprising. What'd you do to get kicked out? What'd you do?
Listening to this show instead of
our feet. Oh,
it's a terrible connection, and it's boring. I got to move on. I just have to. Charlie, I have to. Gateway Buick GMC is the sponsor of our studios here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I-270 and McDonald Boulevard is where you can find them, and that's where I got my whip. It's where I recommend you get your whip. Ain't nobody messing with my whip. Whip, 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 whip. You like that? Anybody?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Gateway Buick GMC is known for their fun contests, prizes, giveaways, and more. All you have to do is follow them on social media to find out more. Gateway Buick GMC's Twitter handle is at St. Louis Buick GMC. Look for the hashtag Gateway Giveaways on Twitter as well as Facebook. Right now, go directly to the Twitter or Facebook wall to view details. 12,000 fans and counting like them on Facebook. It's Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Brian Lawton with us at 8:15. Kelly Chase at 9 o'clock. He's presented by GFI Digital. Doug, I have an SBC Global email address, and I'm 33. Thanks. It's from the 314.
We're breaking down the blues. The season is right there on the brink. And what call do we get? I heard you say years ago that you had an SBC Global email account. That's who's listening to this. The phone lines are poison, I tell you.
Charlie liked the take.
I did.
Yep.
Every once in a while, you got to break up the blues talk with something a little lighter, Doug, and then get right back to the hard-hitting
takes.
Hot takes.
Doug, you're so freaking old.
Mm. Do you care at all what your email address is?
I don't. I have Gmail. I don't know if that makes me cool or not.
It makes it a lot cooler than me and Doug with our Hotmail and SBC Global.
Well, you don't even see what the guy has, though.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Well, I mean, you see the address that you type it in. What do you care?
Yeah, I certainly don't care. I wouldn't judge you based on that. It's probably out of convenience.
That's such an odd
thing.
You
had it for, what, 15 years, and you just kept it.
Well, why wouldn't I?
I agree.
Because it's how everybody knows to email me. If I changed it, then I wouldn't get all those emails.
Good point.
It's just disappointing that it came down to this. It's just disappointing that the Blues are facing a Game 7 and we're hung up on email addresses.
Shouldn't that be a message to our note, though, that, hey, we're not worried. We're not worried about your play. We have confidence in you in Game 7. We're talking more about things like email transmission.
It says that we will have email regardless of what happens tomorrow night.
Are you confident?
I'm confident that SBC Global will work just fine.
Are you confident in the Blues?
Sure.
I am too.
Yeah, I legitimately am. Doug would always be. That's Doug's optimism. Mm-hmm. God bless him. I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but if I truly feel that a team is going to do well, if it happens to be the local team, then so be it. I will voice that. But at the same time, this series has kind of been coin flippish minus game three. I don't feel like it's been as well played, though, as the Blackhawks series. Do you guys feel that way? And maybe some people
maybe
just don't really care.
Yeah.
I just feel like either one of the other teams hasn't played well. It's been a lot of self-inflicted crap. You go, God, yeah, the Blues were lucky to win on Saturday. The Stars, you know, didn't necessarily do anything dazzling last night. I don't know.
There haven't been any really horrendous goals. There haven't hardly been any penalties. They've really kind of taken the fighting out of playoff hockey. So that's not the factor that it once was. It's constantly on the power play or shorthanded. I mean, there's just a couple of penalties called last night. I kind of like it that way.
I think a lot of it has to do really with just the fact that it's the Stars versus the Blackhawks. It's just the fact that the Hawks are the rival. They're the defending cup champs. And even though the Stars may be better than the Hawks, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but just when it's Blues, Blackhawks, the fans have so much invested. You have Blackhawks fans there in the building. I just think it's a different vibe overall.
Well, I agree with that part as far as the atmosphere in St. Louis for certain. One thing that'll be brilliant, and I don't know why this is, and I it's not like I'm, you know, Pang and Chase's podcast producer here or anything like that, but watching games when the Blues are playing a playoff game in Dallas, it reminds me of, and there are other instances of this, it just stands out to me as a Missouri guy. It's like watching a game when Kansas is playing at home and the whining, it's just, it's unbelievable. Beware the fog, American Airlines Center. And it's oftentimes on things that aren't penalties or just booing an offsides call that's blatant. And it's just odd. I mean, they do have a cup down there, and they have had some good teams, and the franchise has been there for, what, 22, 3, 4 years?
Couple 20 years, Tim.
Couple 20 years. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Couple 20 years. And it's just, it's listen for the whining tomorrow. It will be palpable. Zai Iceman.
Hello, Zai Zai.
Morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Oh, we're fine. You?
Oh, not too bad. I just wanted to see if you remember me calling in last week talking about Jay Bomeister.
Yeah, we did. We sure remember
and,
that.
And who was to blame for that goal last night, third goal?
Zai Zai Iceman, you're better than told you so, guy.
I know. I really am. I just wanted to call because I thought it was kind of funny because I was right.
Well, it's not like you're the only guy in St. Louis who's been observing Jay Bomeister's play hasn't exactly been dazzling, maybe minus game five.
Well, yeah, but like I said, the hockey community was right. I was right. Ipso facto, I'm the best.
Doug, do you have a problem with ipso facto?
Yeah, that's my line.
Didn't need to go there.
I'm sorry,
you
Doug.
You didn't need to say ipso facto.
Hey, is it okay if I come by the office and give you a smooch?
No, it's not okay.
That would be bad.
Not
why
okay.
Not?
Because I don't care for you as much.
Why?
Well, because you're the I told you so guy.
I mean, but what if I told you I have a great picture of your rump on
okay,
my wall?
Okay, put it up!
What? So far, we're kind of 0-2 on the phone lines. Kind of 0-2.
But improving.
Right.
Why do we even try?
Well, we try to give the listeners, because 101 doesn't take phone calls, and they undercut my ad rates. And so what I try to do, 100,000 watts, and they got undercut my 450-watt ad rates. Is it that bad? But I try to give a place where we can let the listeners speak their mind, because they take voicemails there. And we allow, but if they're going to call in about Doug's SBC Global and Jay Bomeister's play as if they were the voice in the wilderness on Bomeister's play this postseason, maybe we've got a, you know.
Situation.
Yeah. Maybe we've got to go to voicemails, too.
We've got a fan base that doesn't have a lot of moxie.
Let's try this one, though, Doug.
Okay.
It's Matt.
Hello, Matt. Matt.
Morning, boys.
How's your moxie,
you know,
Matthew?
What's that, Doug?
How's your moxie, Matthew? didn't mean
to follow up on that guy's phone call, I mean, I was the first one, I think, in St. Louis to start jumping on Jay Bomeister. And, I mean, honestly, even with that goal, I don't think it was his fault, because that was a hell of a toe drag by Spezza. And the three goals they did score in the first, I mean, granted, yes, they were glove side, but I mean, it was high glove side. I mean, I want to find a goalie in the NHL that could have stopped those pucks.
But the amazing thing is that you were the first one in St. Louis to point out that Bomeister might have some.
Well, the thing, you know, they posted this on the fan page, and Doug, if you remember the fan page, you would know this.
I know.
But the Blues need a whipping boy every year.
Seems
last year it was Jackman and Berglund. Back in the day, it was Piccoletti and Brownshottle. I mean, it's just. Every year, when the Blues screw up, St. Louis fans turn to someone and say, you know what? It was him.
Brewer was the guy there for a while.
What's that?
I remember when Brewer was the guy, the whipping
boy.
Yeah,
Brewer. And God rest his soul, but there was a little term there that Pavel Dimitra was catching it, too.
Yeah, but it was nice of you to point out that it should be Bomeister now.
Well, and that's the thing. I've been paying attention to Bomeister's play, and you know the amount of minutes that he's putting on the ice with Pietrangelo. I think he's played a solid series. I mean, I really can't point out anything besides for yesterday's game that
really was a big, big blunder on his part.
Well, do you think Ken Hitchcock knows what he's doing? Is Ken Hitchcock a pretty good judge of players?
Well, that's why I've got my job and Ken Hitchcock has his job.
Yeah, well, if you think that he knows what he's doing and has been around long enough to know who can play and who can't, he gives Bouwmeester more than 22 minutes of ice a night. He's on the number one defensive pairing. He must do something right.
Exactly. And I can't remember who you had on the show that was talking about it, but they were talking about Pronger and about how Pronger didn't make any unnecessary movements. You know, he spared his energy, whatever. I don't look at – I'm not about to try to compare Bouwmeester to Pronger here, but with Bouwmeester, he plays the position that he's supposed to play. And, you know, he's never played a physical game. He'll sometimes get physical in the corner, but most of the time he's playing the puck.
Okay. Yeah, boy, you said a mouthful there.
I agree with you. If you look at the numbers, if you look at the numbers this postseason, Bouwmeester has averaged 25 minutes time on ice. He is a plus four. He's been neutral or plus in every single game. And even last night where he had the obvious, you know, he fell down, so everybody points to that, he was still a plus one. Now, you can say that Alex Pietrangelo has played outstanding all postseason, which he has. But still, if you look at the numbers, Jay Bouwmeester has had a pretty darn good playoffs.
Guys, I was the first one who said that Dan Hench, that is going to be a very unpopular opinion, just so you know.
Okay, but when you look at the numbers, how do you dispute that?
But you are aware that right now in the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs in St. Louis, Jay Bouwmeester is the target of the
absolutely
vast majority of
but when so you hear those numbers, how do you not look at the stats, the 25 minutes on the ice, the plus four for the whole series? He's been either neutral or plus in every single game of the series.
And this is when they're trying to get him out there against the other team's best forward line, too. They're trying to get he and Pietrangelo out there as much as they can. So when you play 20, 24 minutes a game, and you're going against some of the best forwards the NHL has to offer, yeah, there might be a time or two you get beaten. That's part of the deal. That's just the game.
Guys, whenever you hear, I'm not comparing, you know a comparison is a-coming. Hashtag douche talk. That's from Manchild79. The listeners are turning on each other in the text inbox and in the calls this morning. And that's unfortunate.
One
loss will do that.
Yep.
They win tomorrow night, though, and everybody is brought together for the free dotem open, Doug. It's this Friday. Mm-hmm. And my God, have you seen the forecast?
I haven't.
75 and as sunny as the day you were born, sir.
Is that right?
Yep. 75 and as sunny as the day you were born. It is the Freedom Open. It's presented by Kenricks and by Bud Light, and it's at Normandy with the live broadcast of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. What Jennings Jr. promises is a foot fetish Friday for the ages. For the ages. Now, I thought that's when we had Seika and Kitten Navidad in, but I guess this is just in general. It will be one of the greatest hashtag foot fetish Fridays in the history of Foot Fetish Fridays, and that's a tradition that goes back to the late 17th century.
I don't know that it does. Does he have his lineup yet of who the
well, he has announced a number of women, but three of them have said they are not participating.
No thanks, yeah.
Right. So I would imagine there'll be some women up in Normandy who would want to just drop by.
Well, does he have any nail down yet that said, okay, yes, I
believe Caller Jordan is committed. I think Janie the lesbian is, I know she's going to be in attendance. I don't know if she's in for a hashtag FFF.
Right.
I don't know who. I just know Jay is fired up.
Well, if it's an FFF for the ages, you'd think that he'd have his lineup ready to go.
Maybe Iggy's working on something.
That'd probably be a good play.
How about this? Corporate Transportation's offering 10% off on rides to and from Normandy to those who use promo code 3BIRDS. Portions of the proceeds will be going to Three Little Birds for Life, the charity we've worked with for 4 years now, almost, going back to November 2012, with being a local St. Louis charity that grants wishes for young adults with cancer. Three Little Birds for Life. It's made possible by Biggie's Pro-Am, GFI Digital, Grand Cru, VIP Golf Carts, Weber Chevrolet, Frederick Roofing, Ren Lakes Golf Course, Dave Sinclair Buick, Burley Cutlery, Truman's and Soulard, Corporate Transportation, 188 Fine Men's Hair Salon, Donut Drive-In, Billy G's and the Kolache Factory. And you can join us for the after party at Over Under Bar and Grill on Washington Avenue. It's where we'll have the awards and a silent auction with all of the proceeds going to three little birds for life. Doug Big Al is on. Oh,
hello, Al. Hello, Big Al.
Did you have a good birthday, Doug?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Al.
Did you and Mrs. Vaughn curry up and whisper in each other's ears? Because I won't go any further after that, but did she take care of my little doggy?
Big Al, I left the house at 5 in the morning, and I got home around about 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, you didn't get any. Hey, hey, did you see that? Did you see that Bowmeister move? That looks like me, Doug, when I'm smashed up at night.
Oh, for heaven's
sake! Did you see? What the heck is going on with him? That looks like me on the ice at 53. Come on!
I don't think
seriously.
You don't skate with a hoot.
I used to.
You didn't. You never did.
But if I got out there right now, I would look like Bowmeister if somebody tried to go around
you
me.
You wouldn't. You'd look like an aging Boeing salesman. You'd look like an aging part salesman for Boeing.
Yeah, that's what I would look like, and that was the AKA Doug Bowmeister or whatever the hell his name is, and he's getting paid millions of dollars.
Is it possible the other guy just made a good move?
Yeah, it's possibly made a good move, Doug, but you don't go, whoa, in his arms. You ever see a defenseman do that, Doug?
Yeah, honestly, I've seen other defensemen fall down,
67.
Sure.
I have never seen a guy go, whoa, and fall over like somebody pushed him and his hands or his feet are in ice, which I guess they were, but they were frozen in ice, that one.
What were you saying
anyway,
about the Blues after they won Game 5?
Let's get this baby going, and I will be at the golf tournament on Friday, and it's going to be a DJM. Doug, Jay, and me. Yes, sir. That's a threesome. Have a good night, boys.
Oh, jeez. You too. Everyone turns on the club. Jeez, they lose a game 3-2. They almost came from way back, and now everyone hates the club. Come on.
That's
pull yourself
hockey.
Up by the bootstraps.
It'll all be over with if they win on Wednesday. We'll forget about all of this.
I guess.
This guy's liver must be made of something special. He is wasted at 7:30. How is he still alive? Doug, do you remember in October when we were having sex and I told you I was down on Jay Bowmeister? I think I might have been the first one to say it. Dave, St. Peter's.
Don't you feel like Bowmeister has always been a target, though, at least the last couple years? And I think it's what that previous caller said. He's not the physical guy. He doesn't have the big hits. You want that out of your defenseman. He doesn't have the shot of Parayko. You kind of don't really talk about him much unless he has those blunders. And unfortunately, in this postseason, although I read the numbers, he was even in the Chicago series. He's +4 in this Dallas series. He has had two big blunders. He fell down, obviously, last night. And in the Chicago series, he had a real bad giveaway in one of those games.
Doug, this is Timmy the Tickler.
Hello, Timmy. Hello, Tickler.
Hey, Doug. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm fine. You?
You know, I'm just coming back from serving a 2-day suspension in your book.
Okay.
And I'm so angry right now, man.
Huh.
How can you defend J-Bo on the air like you do?
Because he's been a pretty good player. He's on the number one defensive pairing.
Doug, are you watching the same player that everyone else is?
Yeah, what? The other players never make a bad play?
Oh, my God.
A forward like Brouwer had a great chance to get the puck right in front of the net. He had a great chance to puck.
And he can't get up.
Let me finish this point. Brouwer had a fantastic chance to score. He got hit with a pass 10 feet in front of the net, couldn't handle it. You don't think anything about that. Bowmeister does the same thing in his defensive zone,
and they score a goal,
now you think he's the worst player in the league.
Oh, he is. For what he makes, he's horrible. Timmy the Tickler is so mad right now.
Well, I'm sorry that you're upset. I'm telling you that Hitchcock wouldn't put him out there 24 minutes a game if he weren't a good player.
Oh, so a coach puts him out there and that makes him a good player, Doug?
That's a pretty good indication that the guy who's running the operation thinks he's a good player, yes.
Oh, that's the stupidest argument I've ever heard you make. You should suspend yourself, Doug.
Well, if he wasn't very good, they'd get somebody to replace him.
I think they're going to.
Well, what are they waiting for?
Well, when you're paying them $7 million, you can't just cut them, Doug.
Well, you know, no matter what you're paying them, you don't put them out there 24 minutes if you don't think he's going to help you win.
Oh, Doug, you and your Band-Aid suits are killing me.
You know what? This Timmy the Tickler's been suspended again. I didn't care for his tood. Timmy the Tickler, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name is going into the handsome leather-bound Ragazzi suspension logule. Ragazzi's blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'll tell you, when I saw the final seconds tick off, face-off deep in Dallas's zone with 3 seconds left, and then they didn't score, I first have the depression that they lost, and then I have the realization that we have to come and do the show mm-hmm. and deal with this for 3 hours. And then it gets even darker. I feel like I could pen some like Hunter S. Thompson caliber work at that moment. Maybe Edgar Allan Poe.
The fan base is down. I get it. I get it, guys. We said the same things. We said the same things after the Blues lost to the Hawks, Game 5, Game 6. And the whole narrative, it'll either stay the same if the Blues lose in Dallas, or it's all good once they win and move on. Mm-hmm. And we forget about all this.
Yeah. That's I love this team. I've always loved it. I always thought this was the year it was going to happen.
That's how close all of these games and all of these series are. It's unfair. And, Doug, we've talked about this, how coaches could get fired. General managers could get let go. Stars could not be re-signed based on winning or losing a game that is so close, sometimes a bounce here or there. Mm-hmm.
Text in 314-880-0808. Enjoy in the phone lines this morning. You can call in. Appliance Discounter phone lines, 314-880-0808. Morning, boys. I was the first one who said that Dan Henschel was the best two-guard since Rich Henschel on our 7th grade CYC St. Gabriel's team. Thanks. Yep. Look, that's from Mario in Chicago.
Turned out to be true, didn't it?
Yep.
Boy, he knows basketball.
Let's see. We got Doug. This is Tino.
Ah, hello, Tino. Hello,
hey,
Tino.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, you sound chipper.
Yeah, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
No,
welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you. But no, you know, kind of a general hot take for you guys. You keep comparing Pietrangelo and Bouwmeester statistically, and you're looking at the ice time. A couple past examples, you know, if you remember, Jackman played with Al MacInnis his rookie year and won Rookie of the Year. You can't always just say, well, he's amazing because he's playing a ton of ice time. A lot of it has to do with who your defensive partner is.
Well, sure it does, but there's also the point is he wouldn't be out there that long if he weren't pretty good. He's not the only defenseman on the team.
So, yeah, you know, you guys are putting him on the same level, and I don't know if that's where
No, we haven't said that Bouwmeester is as good as Pietrangelo. We have not said that.
I hear you. I hear you. But you got Chuck over there reading statistics about how, oh, you know, Bouwmeester's so valuable because he's plus four. Yank.
I'm saying he is not as big of a GOAT as everyone else is saying he is. And again, if you look at all the defensemen, I agree with you in the sense that Alex Pietrangelo, who, by the way, is a plus five, Bouwmeester's a plus four. It seems like from watching the games, Alex Pietrangelo has literally played a perfect postseason. I can't remember even one minor mistake the guy has made. He has played that well. But
I agree.
Bouwmeester is on that pair. It's the top pair. He plays a lot of ice time. I know he's had two really obvious blunders that you can show on the replay a million times. But other than that, he plays a pretty solid game. You look at the rest of the defensemen that play a lot of ice time. Shattenkirk's minus three. Pareko's minus two. I just think, you know, when Pareko has the 100-mile-per-hour slap shot, that's what we focus on.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the statistics are important.
Yeah, I know. You know, I think Shattenkirk's had a fairly mediocre playoffs. But I think my point, and a point a lot of fan base people are making, is that Bouwmeester's reaping the benefits of a really strong play by Pietrangelo, and Bouwmeester's just kind of mediocre.
I think that's definitely fair that Pietrangelo's played so well that Bouwmeester's reaping the benefits. I don't know how much, but yes, I agree with you.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, fellas.
Doug, that was Tino.
Well, all right.
See, Tino. That was wonderful. That was a wonderful call. Guys, let's see. Hold on a second. Shut up with your facts. We's drinking 40s and mad as hell this morning and fixing to take it out on our stepsons. Sincerely, all the dropouts from Seckman, Fox, and Northwest High School?
We're going down Jefferson County with it, are we? I don't know. In some ways, playing defense is like playing corner in the NFL, where you shut down a receiver 9 passing plays in a row, and then you get beat on the 10th.
What's up,
and you
Clamp
go,
City?
Wow, this guy stinks. He stinks.
What have we said about Edmondson all season long? Great rookie season. He's come up here. He's given energy and all that. What is all that we remember now? What's the one thing we remember?
Yeah, his giveaway.
Is the bad giveaway.
Right.
And that could have cost them the game, did cost them the game. That's all that we remember is the one play, not all of the good plays over the whole regular season and the playoffs.
Right. And Bouwmeester is not flashy at all. He doesn't have the big slap shot. He rarely scores, but he does shut down the other team's top players most of the time.
Guys, I was the first guy to wish all of your callers to drink formaldehyde. Thanks. You can't spell gentleman without gentle. Hashtag think about it. That comes from Deke Dotem.
Now that's a good point, finally, from Dotem. But he shan't be freed.
Doug, this is John.
Ah, hello, John.
Morning, boys.
Well, hello.
Hey, just some perspectives on last night. One was probably that 5 minutes around those two goals in the first period, just kind of a lack of focus, maybe just the lack of finding the puck, and Charlie Chattenkirk was the one on the second goal who was playing a little soft defense. But I think the overwhelming statistic last night, which actually led to the first goal, was the number of shot attempts and the actual number that actually hit the net. So, I mean, 73 shot attempts, but only 37 shots on goal. That just seems like a lack of focus, somebody not being there 100% mentally.
Well, I don't know, just because you take a shot that misses the net, if it means you're not there mentally, I think maybe it just means that physically you didn't put it where you wanted to put it.
Which is also tied to hand-eye brain coordination, Doug. I mean, come on.
Well, are you saying every time somebody makes a physical mistake, it's because they're not locked in mentally?
I think that's part of it. Yes, I do.
Bah, men, not machine.
Thanks, guys. That's all I have.
These are the phone lines.
You know, when the Blues score, we don't say, "Boy, those Dallas defensemen stink. They're awful. They were on the ice when the Blues scored." We say, "Boy, that was a nice passing play. That was a great shot." When they score against the Blues, it's, "Boy, our defensemen stink."
I hear the voice of the plow shark.
Yeah.
Bring it.
And great call by John, by the way. the main problem with that is Parenko wasn't shooting the puck during that first goal. It was a bad pass attempt. He should have passed it down the boards. He tried to go cross ice. It was tipped. And then, yeah, I mean, the first goal happened. It wasn't a shot attempt, though. It was actually a pass.
Is your beeper going off?
Yeah, what's that noise?
The phone lines. They're blowing up this morning.
Here's a good stat, though. I remember reading this last night on Twitter after the first period. Our good buddy Luke Horak of NHL.com, covers the Blues, obviously. He tweets right after the first period, "The STL Blues attempted 24 shots to Stars 9. 9 on goal, 8 were missed, and 7 were blocked. The Blues defensemen blocked 0 shots." That is kind of alarming. In that first period, that the Blues defenseman blocked 0 shots. So I do think that does speak. I don't want to say they didn't come out ready to play, but that's an odd stat. I know stats don't matter according to the phone lines, but I like to look at them.
Yeah, you would think that would be telling, but I'd have to go back and look at it again. Sometimes it just never comes up. Sometimes they don't take slap shots that are blockable. They pass the puck around until there isn't someone standing right in front of them.
Guys, does Doug ever hold players accountable? Thanks. That's from the 636. Doug, do you hold players accountable?
Sometimes. I hold them accountable when it looks like maybe they're not given maximum effort. If a guy makes a physical error, it's just all part of the deal. It's all part of sports. Nobody's perfect on either side. They're not perfect. And if somebody's out there giving you everything that he's got, I mean, that's all you can expect. That's how goals get scored usually. There's a breakdown on defense or somebody makes a great play. It doesn't always mean that the guy who's on the ice sucks and he needs to be run out of town.
Guys, Doug's a rights holder now. I guess somebody has to fill in for the cat. Thanks. That comes from Amy the plumber.
But don't you think we always joke about you have the process-driven thinking and you have results-driven thinking. For example, Troy Brouwer has had a great postseason. But also, even Ken Hitchcock, after Game 5, joked about the fact that whenever he's on the doorstep, he joked and said, you know, he's right on the beach. He just has to hit the puck into the ocean. He's in the sand. Mm-hmm. Joking about the fact that when Brouwer scores some of these goals, you know, he gets half the puck and it barely goes in. He had a play last night, as Tim mentioned earlier, where he's right in the middle, couldn't get a handle on the puck and get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, he has 4 goals, so we've all said he's had a great postseason. some of those goals, you know, were barely shot in from the ladies' tees, as you like to say, Doug. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, if the goal goes in, it's great. If not, the player's terrible.
He's a bum.
That's all we look at.
And he wasn't locked in mentally.
You know what? That's where I do understand. I'm reading off a bunch of stats. Sometimes the stats are misleading because you have great chances.
Full board of phone calls. That is awesome. 401-488-0808. Brian Lawton with us at 8:15, presented by the National Blues Museum on Washington Avenue, 615 Washington Avenue. And Kelly Chase, presented by GFI Digital at 9 o'clock. Email of the day, the morning after, at InsideSTL.com. What is it, Matt, who bowls at Hanks, and Steven Wilder are tied for the lead, Seamaster? Is that correct? Wow. And then Misty Plops and Cucky the Dwarf trailing. Now, a lot of time left, but, you know, it is May 10th, and you kind of start going, all right, what's going on here?
Well, I never say that until you bring it up.
What's going on here? So send your emails, and we're giving away a gift certificate to the Post, home of the official cheesesteak of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Charlie, Doug, since both of you are eliminated from our fantasy baseball league, might be time for you to turn your attention to DraftKings and play nightly on DraftKings. Baseball's in full swing, and you can experience the thrill of daily fantasy baseball season long at DraftKings.com. With daily fantasy at DraftKings, there is no season-long commitment. It's like a brand-new season every time you play. And playing is simple. Just draft two pitchers and eight position players to enter the salary cap and outscore the competition to turn your love of baseball into cash. Only DraftKings brings the excitement of fantasy baseball to this level. With every strikeout, diving catch, and monster home run bringing you closer to payday, millions of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. New contests start daily, so hurry to DraftKings.com now. Enter promo code 920 and play for free with your first deposit in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That's promo code 920 to play for free in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Andy.
Yeah, hello, Andy.
Hello, hey, good Andy. Morning, guys.
Yeah.
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, everybody's got their panties in a wad about Jay Bomeister, but if I'm more on the Shattenkirk bandwagon here of him playing just horrendous this postseason. I mean, you know, Bomeister caught an edge, falls down. It happens. It just happened at a terrible time. On that second goal, though, Shattenkirk needs to grow a pair of marbles and step up, and you cannot let Fiddler be there. He's standing in the crease. Before Fiddler, why has he not got a body on Fiddler instead of just playing with a stick? He needs a body up there, and he should not have gotten a stick of it.
Doug, why didn't Chad Deuces have a body on Fiddler?
I don't know. All these guys suck so badly, I don't know how we even made the playoffs. All of them.
On your highlights last night, did you do a Fiddler on the roof take?
I didn't.
It was right there. Was that
Topol?
Yes, he played the Fiddler on the roof, right? I believe he did.
He sponsored WWE Recap once. Yes, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Can you talk
to him? Can you talk to your family, but we can barely hear you.
Are you underwater?
I'm not.
Oh, there we go. That's an improvement. Yes. What's going on?
Sorry about that. I saw a photo on Twitter yesterday that John Mabry, I guess before the Cardinal flight, was leaving the Blues locker room for the pregame skate. And I'm surprised that perhaps he got to him, and he's having the guys shoot intentionally wide if they don't have a good look. What do you think?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I knew this was Mabry's fault.
Okay.
I think that was funny, actually.
Doug, this is Jimmy.
Well, hello, Jimmy. Hello, Jimmy.
Well, hello, Doug.
Well, what's up?
Hey, I just want to mention all these idiot bandwagon fans who clearly haven't watched a game all season until the playoffs start and want to rail on Jay Bomeister. Just a little history lesson on Jay Bomeister. He is a two-time All-Star before he was ever a Blue. He was the third overall draft pick his draft year. This is not some idiot who doesn't know how to play hockey. It's a guy who made a simple skating mistake last night, and everyone wants to throw him under the bus. Mm-hmm. He's the type of player that you only notice if he makes a rare mistake. He's not flashy. He's in great position. And people, I mean, he was picked on Team Canada, won a gold medal in 2014. So if he's so crappy, I don't know how he makes All-Star games and Team Canada.
Because we got to blame somebody. So he's the guy.
Let me ask you this, Jimmy. Do you think he's healthy? Some people have been theorizing that something's just not right at this point, and that might explain some of his issues this postseason. What about you?
I would say none of those guys are healthy right now. Every one of those guys are absolutely banged up. So but he's a warrior. Don't forget, this is the guy, he had the Iron Man going. He played 700 and something consecutive games before he finally sat one out, I think last year it was. The guy's a warrior. So if he's hurt, he's playing anyhow. And a hurt Jay Bomeister playing 25 minutes a game is still, with his veteran reliability, still going to be a hell of a lot better than someone like Edmondson, who I loved. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. But as a rookie making a big mistake like he made a couple days ago, you know, he's going to be a little shaky for the at least for the rest of the round. You don't take someone like Jay Bomeister out in place of a rookie. Jay Bomeister plays reliable minutes. He's in great position. He made a simple mistake. Hell, he's probably a little hurt, but overall he's playing great.
I agree.
Jimmy, thank you so much.
I agree completely.
Guys, I'm pretty sure that Jimmy's Jay Bomeister.
I don't think it is. I agree with what Jimmy said.
I do, too. And I think with Bomeister.
You thought that was Jay Bomeister as well?
I do not think that was Jay Bo. I do think, though, a guy who makes a ton of money, people always look at that. You also look at a guy who's 6'4", 215. You expect him to go out there and just knock people around into the boards, and that's just not his game. I totally agree with the fact that Jay Bomeister, when he's doing his job, you don't mention him at all because he's not a flashy player.
Right.
And then you're going to have – it is the playoffs. I get it. He's had two very bad moments in the playoffs, but other than that, he's been solid.
All right, we got to take a break for the top of the hour. Brian Lawton's going to join us at 8:15. Kelly Chase, 9 o'clock. That's your Get Tinted STL, Captain's Log. Get your whip tinty-tinty, Doug, so you don't squinty-squinty.
Right, that's the plan.
It's Get Tinted, the sponsor of the Captain's Log here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Get Tinted. The number is 314-406-8489 or gettintedstl.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.